As has already been mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone here this morning, and if you are visiting like I am, we appreciate your presence, and you are our honored guest. I've enjoyed already meeting some of the brethren here this morning and look forward to meeting the rest of you this week. I appreciate the invitation to be with the group here at Eastside. I'm from the Springfield area, Robertson County, just north of Nashville, and it's certainly good to come down and be with the brethren here. A few years back, I had a gospel meeting at El Bethel, and the Butlers came and supported that meeting, and it was good to see them again. And on one day there, Frank asked if I would come and hold a meeting here, and so that's how that has been arranged. And I appreciate the Butlers and their encouragement and their teaching, especially of young men through the years, and I'm looking forward to spending some more time with them again this week. I'll be staying with the camps. I appreciate Keith and Tina and their hospitality, and look forward to getting to know them better as well. Since I'm staying with them, if you need to contact me throughout the week, feel free to do so. I'm available to study with you and visit with you, and if there's someone that you would like us to talk with this week, I'm certainly available to do that, and want you to know that I believe that would be a good thing to do, so feel free to ask about that. If you'd like a copy of any of the lessons, I will be leaving paper copies, of course, here with Keith, and on my website, I will put the lessons this week. If you'll go to gospel meetings, those of you who like to do that kind of thing, if you'll go down to the bottom of the list, you'll see the Eastside Church in Shelbyville, and all of the lessons are listed for this week. And hopefully I will also be putting the audio lessons there as well. So any of this material you're certainly welcome to have. And I appreciate the invitation to be here. Before I begin, I hope that you'll indulge me in just a brief story. I mentioned the Butlers earlier. It was about 25 years ago, just this past August, that I was a young man learning how to preach and did a summer preaching program in Columbus, Mississippi, where Frank and his wife were at the time. And now Keith told me that this would not fall apart. So it's operator error. It's my fault. It's fine. This goes down. Before I begin these series of lessons this week, since you don't know me that well, I just wanted to let you know that I am highly qualified to deliver these lessons. I have in front of my hand here a certificate signed by Frank Butler. When I was with Frank in Columbus, one thing I learned, in addition to the many great things about personal evangelism and the Bible and God's Word, I learned that he had a healthy sense of humor. He liked to cut up and joke around. And at the end of the summer program, he certified me as a gospel preacher. And I've kept this. This is 25 years old. It says, Columbus, Mississippi, International School of Local Evangelism, Certificate of Achievement. This is to certify that Chris Reeves has completed the basic preaching and associated skills courses. So I just want you to know I'm qualified. And if you have any doubts about that, he signed that at the bottom. Frank Butler, director. Now over here on the left-hand side, it says Chalkboard 101A. I'm left-handed, and a left-handed person in chalk is just a nightmare. So I'm so glad that we have PowerPoint these days. But I got an A in chalkboard, hand gesturing, B+, table manners, C-, handshaking, B. So I'll be in the back after the service and we can test, see if I've gotten any better at that. And then racquetball, B+. There was one of the elders there, Anthony Couchman, loved to play racquetball, and that's the first time I've ever played racquetball. But all kidding aside, of course, I certainly appreciate Frank and his interest in taking young men under his wings to work with them in the gospel, and I know that he continues to do that. Just during the break, he came up to me and said, Chris, you know, another good point in that lesson that you could add in there was such and such. So he's still doing that. And I appreciate that, and I'll continue to be one of those young preachers. I'll accept that title as a young preacher, and he likes to work with young men, and I appreciate that. So just wanted to let you know that I'm qualified to hold these lessons this week. That has been on my wall for 25 years, and I needed some excuse to get it off and read it and use it. So you gave me that this morning. I appreciate that. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. I'd like to read the first seven verses as we discuss this morning the joy of worship. And I wanted to speak about that this morning because I want us to all enjoy coming together here at Eastside to worship the Lord, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or each night of a gospel meeting. I want us to remember that our occasion here and what we're doing is of great importance, and it should give us joy so that we want to come back if we're physically possible to do so. In Psalm 95, I want us to begin reading in verse 1. The psalmist there says, "O come, let us sing unto Jehovah. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For Jehovah is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, oh, that you would hear his voice." And so coming before God, and not just coming before God in worship, but twice in this psalm, a joyful noise. It is to be not just worship, but a joyful worship. And so this morning, I would like for us to talk about our attitude in coming together, and with the right attitude, we'll want to be here to worship God. Let me ask you this. Do you have plans to come back this evening? Do you have plans to come back this evening? Do you have plans to come each night of the gospel meeting? I'm talking about if we're physically able. Sometimes when we come together, if we've already made plans not to come back, and we physically can't, could it be that maybe we simply do not enjoy what we're doing here? Could it be that we might enjoy something else greater in our life, and so we're going to be doing that tonight or later this week? If that's the case, and I certainly don't know the hearts of individuals here, and you know your heart, and God knows your heart, but if it's the case that I simply do not enjoy this that much, I'm here maybe because somebody else wants me to be here, I hope this morning's lesson will encourage you to raise the level of joy in your life with regard to coming and worshiping God. And if we're physically able to come back this evening, we'll be here. And if we're physically able to be here this week during a gospel meeting, we'll do that. Because we enjoy being here, worshiping God, and being with my brethren. That's really the point of this morning's lesson. And in order to do that, I would like to begin with the observation that our attitude concerning worship is often affected by our culture around us. We live in a culture of get things and get it quick, and sometimes that comes into our religious life and in our life of worship, and maybe we're wanting that as well. We're wanting to come in and get it and get out real quick. Some even denominational churches have drive-in sermons and drive-through communion so that I can get out quicker and get to the deer blind or get out on the lake and do my fishing or go shopping or wherever or go to the walking horse arena or whatever it might be. Get it quick approach to life is common. We're used to that when we go through the drive-through at McDonald's or the express lane at Kroger, or wherever it might be. And in those areas of our life, that is fine. We want to get in, we want to get out. And that convenience and that quickness is fine in those areas. But we've got to be careful that we don't bring that into our life with regard to worshiping God. Because some are doing that, and so they're wanting to change the service rather than their attitude. Can we have a shorter sermon? Can we have a shorter service? Can we make it truncated and shortened and abbreviated so that it can be like the rest of our life? We have 30-second commercials. We have 15-second commercials. Can we have the same type of thing in our religious life? Because really, we want to get in and get out and get on to the more important things of our life. Maybe what's happening there is that our culture is affecting us negatively in the sense that we want a brief and quick and convenient service because that's something we're supposed to do, and we really don't enjoy it. And so what I want us to do is to check our attitude. It's like the check engine light that comes on. When that check engine light comes on, we're able to go in and do a diagnostic test and see what's going on. When the check heart or check mind light comes on, we can look at our attitude and see if something needs to be serviced. Do we spend a lot of time with other things? Do we spend a lot of time with other things in life? Do we spend a lot of time at a sporting event? We'll go and we'll sit 2 hours on a Friday night at a high school football game, or we'll go up, maybe somebody gave us tickets, like someone did to me the other day, gave us some tickets to a Predators game last week. And that was 7 to 9:30, 2.5 hours. We'll go and we'll sit at that type of thing. We don't have any problem with that. We enjoy that, having a good time. Would we do that at a service? Do we spend time going hunting and fishing? And I know that there are brethren who are outdoors brethren, I'm sure, here, and I enjoy that. We live out in the country, and my son hunts on the back of the property, and we like to go fishing and hunting and shooting guns and target practice, and that's fun. But do I enjoy that more than coming to worship God? Do we spend a long time playing video games? Our young people will sit, and for hours they'll be on the internet, or they'll be texting someone, or they'll be on a video game for hours on end. And yet, I don't get a lot of interest in a 45-minute Bible class on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Do we spend a lot of time watching TV and movies? The point is simply that our level of interest is directly proportional to the time that we spend with that. So if we spend a lot of time with something, obviously we have a high interest in that. If we don't want to spend time here worshiping God and hearing great lessons and studying the Bible, if our level of interest is not in it, then we won't want to be here. And we may not be back tonight. We may not be back the rest of the week. Only you will know the answer to that. And the solution is to look at our level of interest. And to see, this morning's lesson is to raise our level of interest in enjoying worshiping God. I'm not going to appeal to some emotional, better felt than told experience. I'm not going to try to appeal to you in some way other than the Word of God and appreciating who God is. If we appeal to gimmicks and some sort of contrived encouragement, then it's certainly not going to last. It's not going to be meaningful. And we may be right back where we are a few days from now or a few weeks from now. We want to appeal to the Word of God. But let us honestly look at our level of interest in being here. And do we enjoy being here more than these other things that we do in our life? Our attitude of worship is very important. And we certainly want to avoid anything that is less than what God wants. We're going to be turning to some psalms here this morning that speak of worship, and the psalmist will teach us the right attitude, but we certainly don't want it to be something as simply, well, that's a place where I go and socialize. We enjoy talking with our brethren. I enjoy talking with some of the brethren during the break. We build each other up, but it's not simply a place to go and socialize. It's not simply a place to go because if it's a ritual or routine. My parents drug me to services, and so that's just something we do. It's not something that I have to go, but I get to go. I desire to go. Like the psalmist said, that I love to be in the house of God. I desire to be there. One thing I have desired. We've got to look at our attitude. And as parents, we've got to raise our children to enjoy being here. And we're going to talk about later that the way you do that is you engage them. You engage them hands-on. Songbook that's opened up. Praying actively when we pray. A Bible that's opened up. Taking notes. That's the only way we can have a hands-on personal enjoyment of anything, just like anything in life. Sometimes parents will bring their children all through the years, and then they grow up. And we experienced this in another congregation and in another state. Brought them through the years, and then when they became teenagers, then, well, they're going to go sit in the back, and they're not going to pay attention. And then when they can get up and get on their own, they're going to move away from home and never darken the doors again. And the parents will say something like, well, I took them to church. I brought them to church. I brought them here every Sunday and every Wednesday night. Were we doing anything more than just bringing them here?
were we teaching them that when we're here, we enjoy being here, and we're going to actively participate when those things are going on. Not just, I have to go, or come on, get in the car, we got to go to the gospel meeting. But we enjoy worshiping God, so we're ready to go. It's not just about a proper location. Well, the building has Church of Christ on the sign, and they're engaged in the five acts of scriptural worship. And so when we're in there, we're guaranteed that we're right with God. We all know that the scribes and Pharisees had it right with regard to some physical external things, but Jesus in Matthew 23 condemned their heart. Their heart was not right. Your heart is far from me, he said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. And so we can be about the right building with the right words on the sign and the five scriptural acts of worship. And I'm not like some who, when they say it that way, are actually putting that down. There are five scriptural acts and five only. I'm certainly not disparaging that as some do and some in my own family have done. But it's not simply about that only. So if I go through those things, then my worship is acceptable to God. I must enjoy going through those things, love doing those things, desire being here. And some simply, you see this in the denominational world, and unfortunately maybe among some brethren, we go in kind of like a tune-up. You know, you need an oil change every, you know, I used to say 3,000 miles, then they changed it to 5,000. I'm hearing 8,000. It gets thrown around. But every 3,000 to 8,000, you go in for an oil change. New set of spark plugs. Well, I'll go on down to the building. They've got a gospel meeting coming up, and somebody wants me to go, and so I'll go. And you know, it might be good for me. But on a regular basis, I'm certainly not going to do that. Or I might go on Christmas, or I might go on Easter, or something like that. We see that in the denominational world. No, I'm going to be regular in my service because I enjoy being there. Now, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Where might we turn for the proper attitude? Well, we could look at a number of scriptures, all from Genesis to Revelation, but I'd like to focus on the Psalms this morning that say a lot about worship. So let's look at some attitudes this morning. I want to look at 8 in particular, if you will. Number 1, we need to come reverently. And when we come reverently, we will enjoy it. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. But as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house. In thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. The fear here is the reverence and the respect. So when I come in, I'm going to seriously be thinking about that Bible reading and Bible study. I'm going to pay attention during that prayer and the singing and the Lord's Supper and the giving. I'm going to come with fear and respect because I'm before the Almighty God of the universe. When we come in with that attitude, we're going to enjoy it more. When we come loving to be here, turn with me to chapter Psalm 26 and verse 8. And I love to hear the pages turning. It's about getting back to the Bible and focusing on the Bible as we studied this morning. And a Bible-based love of God and His Word will cause us to want to be here and come back this evening and the rest of the week. In Psalm 26 and verse 8, Jehovah, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Much of this by the psalmist and David, and then Solomon after him, and even some of the psalms by Hezekiah are in the days of the temple, in the temple period, and so the house of God. We are the house of God. Ephesians chapter 2, we are the habitation and the temple and the house of God. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. And so we love to come and assemble with the brethren, but I love that. Have you ever said, I love, and then you fill in the blank, an item of food or an article of clothing? Do we ever say, I love to sing songs of praise. I love to open up my Bible and learn something. I love to be with my brethren. The attitude of joyfully, look at Psalm 95 as we read just a moment ago, but notice the idea of not just singing, but joyful singing. Listen, sing out. I've been encouraged already by the singing this morning, but the bottom line is God is not looking at, are they singing soprano, alto, tenor, or bass? Are they singing in the right pitch and in the right key? He's interested in your heart and in your attitude, as we'll see later on. And sing out and be joyful about that. In the congregation in Texas where we were at, a small congregation, there was a lady, I'll tell you what, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. She was raised in a Methodist church, and she told me, she said, one of the reasons probably is because we never sang. That the person up there on the piano was playing all the time, and the chorus was up there singing all the time. We never really got a chance to sing. And she said, Chris, maybe that's why I just sing terribly. But you know what? She loved the Lord. She would sing out. And that's encouraging. And I don't care about on pitch or off pitch, on key, off key. I enjoy being here and singing about God. And so make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, sing out. Sing out. And enjoy that. And enjoy opening up our Bible. And enjoy opening up the things that we do when we're here. We need to be holy when we come in. A lot of times, if there is sin in our life, then we're not going to enjoy being here because we feel that guilt. And Keith preaches on something that touches in my life that I'm not doing right. And so, you know, do I really want to come back and hear Keith again? You know, do I really want to get my toes stepped on again? So if I would get that out of my life, if I would make those changes that I need to make, I want to enjoy being here. So look at Psalm 96 in verse 8. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. Worshiping in holy array. He is holy, and we're going to come before him in holiness. And if we need to make those changes, let's make those changes. It's not talking about the clothes that we wear, although that's another lesson. And I believe that we should put on our best for the Lord. I believe we should put on our best for the Lord. But that's a subject of another time. This is talking about our attitude of holiness. And so if we need to make those changes, we'll do that. And when we're here, then we'll love being here. When sin is in our life, it keeps us from enjoying holy things. Unholy things keep us from enjoying holy things. Turn with me to Psalm 100. One of the best things that will increase our enjoyment while we're here is being so thankful for what God has done that we wouldn't be here without Him. We wouldn't be here without His Son. Do you know that we live in a very selfish generation? Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. Look, before we come through that back door or this side door, we're coming in so thankful for what God has done that when we're in here, we're going to enjoy being in here. We wouldn't be here without the cross of Christ. We wouldn't be here without the grace of God. We wouldn't be here without the love and mercy of God, without the Word of God. But we live in such a selfish culture that if we're not careful, it rubs off on us. And when we come in, we lose that gratitude. We lose that thankfulness. God's Word from the Holy Spirit, the cross from Jesus, the love from God, all those things that the Godhead supplies for us, we're not thinking about that. And so while we're here, we're not really enjoying it. But if we realize we would not be here without all of that, when we come through with thanksgiving, then we're going to enjoy being here. Listen, is a selfish little self-centered brat, are they happy? Are they happy? No, they are miserable. You find a young person or an old person who is thankful and grateful. They enjoy what they're doing. You give me that little self-centered brat at Walmart. You know what I'm talking about. If you want a sermon, just go to Walmart. If you want a sermon, just go out into public for a little bit. You'll see how young people are being raised. Selfish little brats are being raised by selfish little brats. And we have a self-consumed, I am the center of the universe mentality. And when buildings are filled with that type of person, then we're just keeping out. And we're watching the clock and we can't wait to get out of here. But when we come with gratitude, we love to be here. We're not concerned about the clock. We're so thankful for what God has done. Wholeheartedly. Put all your heart into it. Let me encourage our parents this morning. One thing that was taught me growing up, and I think it's a valuable lesson, that when you bring your children, talk with them coming into the building, and I see some little ones here, some toddlers and on up into teenagers. You talk with them about we're getting to go to worship God, and when we get there, We're going to put our heart and mind to it, just like I want you to do at school or music or sports, put your all into it, even more so when we come to worship. So we're going to open up that songbook, and we're going to sing out, and we're going to open up that Bible, and we're going to pray, and we're going to think about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to give. We're going to put, in other words, my mind is not just going to be on neutral. I come through the door, my mind and body's in neutral. If we do that, then what's going to happen is they'll keep coming, and they'll come all through their young years and their youthful years and their teenage years, but they're just coming. They weren't engaged. They weren't putting their heart into it. And when they get a chance to leave, they'll leave, and they may never darken a door again. When they're little and they're young, they put their heart and mind into it, and you set the example for them as well. Psalm 111 in verse 1. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks unto Jehovah with my whole heart. With my whole heart. There's your singing out. And your and amen in the prayer. And the giving and the concentrating on the Lord's Supper. And following along in the Bible saying, I'm going to put my whole heart into it. I'm not just going to be put in neutral, you see. When my mind is in neutral, I'm really not getting anything out of it. Be it TV or something else. And the same here. I'm going to wholeheartedly engage in worship to God. And it starts early in life. Get them a Bible. Encourage them to open up that psalm book. And we stand and sing. Encourage them to bring their own Bible and open that Bible up. And get their Bible class lesson as they get older. Engage, engage, engage. This is so very important. And they will love and enjoy worshiping God. And we set the right example as adults. Gladly. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of God. Let us go into the house of God. Our feet are standing within the gates of Jerusalem. Are we glad? Are we glad when we hear that we get to come all week long during a gospel meeting? Wow, that's going to be great. Do you know that there are brethren who will take work vacation to attend their local gospel meeting? They love to be there. They're glad to do that. They will put other things off and put the Lord first. It's an attitude, isn't it? It's just an attitude. We can make things happen. Where there's a will, there's a way. And whether it's vacation or something else, we're glad to be here because it will benefit us, as we're going to see in just a moment. We're going to be here regularly. It's not going to be hit and miss. We're not going to forsake the assembling of our saints, as is the custom of some. But we're going to come together and stir up one another to love and good works. And so we're going to be regular about that. The elders don't have to be on me about my attendance. Keith doesn't have to be on me about my attendance. I'm going to be here because I love to be here every time the doors are open. You know, the brother that prays, Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time. How seriously do we take that? Sometimes a brother will say, Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time. And some will say amen to that. And they have no intention of coming back at the next appointed time. Their heart and life and mind is somewhere else. But we're going to be regular. And we're going to be here because worshiping God is the greatest thing that we can do on the face of this earth. Yes, God wants us to work. And God wants us to take care of our families. And there are other activities of life, obviously, that the Lord wants us. If a man will not provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So yes, we need to work to provide for our own. But those are secondary. The kingdom comes first, Matthew 6:33, you see. Those things will take care of themselves. And so worship, which is a part of putting the kingdom first, is going to be regular in my life. So Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Regular, in other words. Regular. And when we do these things, then some things that we often see in the assembly will go away and will take care of themselves. You know, I've preached on these matters sometime in the past. I had to add in here texting, Keith. I had to put the cursor in there and add in texting. I was probably fourth grade, fifth grade, sitting up front. My dad was up preaching, large congregation, back in the mid-70s, up front, talking, goofing off with the son of one of the elders. We were punching, talking, cutting up. Dad gives me the evil eye, and basically, when I finished this, we lived in the preacher's house next door. On the walk over, that's when I was going to be getting it. But Stephen was sitting right beside me. And his mother a larger woman came and snatched him up. She had a switch in her hand. She carried a switch in her purse. This is fifth grade now. But this is old school. This is back when you took care of that kind of thing, that foolishness and goofing off in the assembly. And, you know, we preach against the rapture, but that almost makes me want to believe in the rapture. I say that kidding, of course. But she grabbed him. He was sitting on the end. And I turn around, well, where's Steve? I look back. She grabbed him and had that switch and went to the back. I got mine later. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about if I lean over to my wife and I make some comment about a Bible verse or we're taking notes. We're talking about daydreaming and cutting up and passing notes that aren't related. We know what we're talking about. Those types of things will go away when we truly love. We won't be daydreaming. We won't be bored. We won't be watching the clock, that type of thing. We won't say, I don't get anything out of Keith's sermons and that type of thing. We won't dread to come. We won't stay away when we could be here. We're certainly not talking, brethren. I'm very mindful of age limitations. I'm mindful of illness and hospitalization, and we might be on medications. And I'm mindful that as we get older, sometimes we have physical limitations that will not allow us to be here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we can be here, we just simply choose not to. With these proper attitudes, we'll do away with the idea of bare minimum attendance. I just have to be there on Sunday morning. I was with a congregation, sadly to say, it was so bad. Listen, it was so bad that just like this morning, we've had the Lord's Supper first and then the preaching on a regular basis. Brethren would take the Lord's Supper and then leave. And we're not talking about for an emergency. We're talking about they had other places where they wanted to go. But they felt like if I get the Lord's Supper in, then that's all that's important. There's not one scripture in the New Testament that says the Lord's Supper is more important than any other act of worship. In fact, when you read the Lord's Supper passages, often you'll find other acts of worship in that very passage. But somehow, brethren have gotten the idea that I have to take the Lord's Supper, but I don't have to stay for the sermon or anything else. It's all worship to God. And in this particular church building, there were windows down the side of the building, and the driveway went out, and it was like a parade. And I hate to be open and plain about that, but I want to be realistic and say that some brethren just simply have a bare minimum approach to worshiping God. And that's the bare minimum. And once I get that, then I'm fine. We've got to get off to the lake or wherever. With these proper attitudes, we will want to be here and love to be here. In the New Testament, what we call the five acts of worship, every one of them should be joyous. In Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfastly implies there an enjoyment, a desire to study God's Word. In Acts chapter 12, they gathered together in the home of Mary to pray for Peter. Would we have showed up or would we have said, well, it's just a prayer meeting? Remember when the older folks called it a prayer meeting? You know, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I don't think I'm going to come back tonight. It's just a singing. You ever heard that? Now, be honest. Just a singing? Oh, really? You know where that's coming from? It's not the Lord's Supper. That's the more important thing, or something else along those lines. Everything that we do should have a joy, and we should desire. So, at home, on the fifth Sunday, when we have a fifth Sunday, we sing. And sometimes folks won't come because it's just a singing. There is joy in praying. So would we have come together, if Mary said, we're going to get together and pray for Peter, would you have gone or would you have said, it's just praying for Peter? Well, let's be honest. I would hope that all of us this morning, in my encouraging way, say, no, we will be there. Look at the matter of communion. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Have you ever noticed the statement? We might read over it. Have you ever noticed the statement of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16? He says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? Look at that. It's called the cup of blessing. Is there something that we get out of that? Absolutely. It's the cup of blessing. It's the cup of blessing which we bless. Now, we do bless it. We pray. But it's the cup of blessing. There's a blessing there even before we pray for it. So there's a blessing in remembering the blood of Christ on the cross. There's a blessing remembering that until He returns again. There's a blessing in the Lord's Supper. There's a joy there.
Our brother read this morning 2 Corinthians 9. God loveth a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or of necessity, his version said, of compulsion. Not because I have to, but I love to give. I love to be here. I love to worship the Lord. That giving will help to keep the preaching and the work of the Lord going in this place and souls being saved. And I enjoy that. And then turn with me to Colossians 3:16. And the dear sister who couldn't carry a tune in the bucket, let's learn from her to sing out. And what does Paul say with regard to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, a well-known passage? Singing what? The psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts unto God. The grace there is thankfulness and gratitude and blessing. And of course, that involves joy. What brings joy in your life? You ever thought about that? Do you enjoy doing anything? I know, ladies, that you have some hobbies that you enjoy. Men, you have some hobbies that you enjoy. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is it that when I'm doing something, I really enjoy that? If we'll explore that for just a moment, and then we'll close this morning. If we'll answer these questions, then we can really see how that we can have joy in worship. Let me suggest three things. You might think of some other things, but these are three that I thought of. Number one, when you understand the value or the importance of something, or the greatness of something, then you're really going to enjoy that. When you understand the value of something or the greatness of something, you get enjoyment out of that. If you understand the value of exercising, you're going to enjoy that because it keeps my heart healthy, it keeps my body healthy. So when you understand the value of something, now look at these two passages. In the book of Numbers and in the book of Hosea, God is not a man. Listen, we're here to worship God. He's not a man. If he were just a man, then I could see coming in here, well, you're just a man. He is the creator of the universe. He's described in the Old Testament as Almighty God. And when you see the importance of that being and the value of who he is and his power just to say, let there be light and there is light, then we will begin to appreciate and enjoy being here. We're not just singing to a man. We're not reading man's words. We're not offering for the work of a man. We're offering for the work of the Lord. God is an almighty being. His greatness has been brought down to the level of man in our society, and we wonder why people don't get any enjoyment about things involving God. He's not a man. He is far greater. Number two, the other reason why you and I enjoy doing things, I enjoy music, I enjoy outdoors. You have a list of things that you enjoy when you get a good feeling about that. Now, let me hasten to say right here, I'm not talking about some inner warm glow, better felt than told feeling, some mysterious or mystical thing. I'm talking about, I'm using it in the way that these passages use it. Those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, will renew their strength. Paul talks about the renewing of your mind. Our mind is renewed. It's revigorated. We enjoy when we're worshiping the words of the Psalms, the words of God's Bible. They come into our mind. Our mind is rejuvenated. And we enjoy that. We feel better about that. That's the feeling that I'm talking about. When our mind is renewed, we walk out of here encouraged to make it through the week. We walk out of here with hope that we can keep going on. It builds us up. The songs and the prayers and the Bible study builds us up. That's the feeling that I'm talking about. When our mind is renewed. And Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:16 that the inner man is renewed day by day. How is that? By prayer and Bible study and association with brethren. Our outward man may be decayed. Memory loss, eye vision, can't hear as well, can't get around as well. But our inward man is renewed day by day. That's what I'm talking about. And when we get a good feeling about something, we enjoy that. And then last of all, when you can see the positive results that follow. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 52, right before Jesus ascended back into heaven, his disciples said they worshipped him. And then they returned with gladness and joy, and they praised God in the temple. We enjoy doing things because we know the positive results that follow. Back to exercise. Why do we enjoy exercise? Because we know eventually we're going to lose some weight. We know eventually there's going to be some positive outcome. Ladies, why do you enjoy baking
for the shut-ins, let's say. You know that when you take that to them, you're going to brighten their day. There is some value that you're going to get out of that, and so you enjoy it. Whether it's hiking, hunting, fishing, catching that big fish, there's something down the road that you're looking for and anticipating. And listen, when you see those positive results, then you enjoy doing that activity. Do you know what happens when we leave this building? What are the positive results? We're drawn closer to heaven while the rest of the world is traveling that broad way that leads to destruction. We have better marriages. We're a better parent. We're a better child. We're a better person. We have better values. We treat people better. There are positive results from being here. And so that's why we enjoy being here. God is great. Our mind is renewed and we feel better when we leave. And there will be positive results in your family and in mine, in your life and in mine. Well, we want to come to the close this morning in simply saying that time spent worshiping God is time well spent. I'm impressed with scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament, that talk about God's people gathering together. Can you imagine in Deuteronomy 31 every 7 years, and in Nehemiah chapter 8, from early morning until noonday, sitting there listening to the law of God? All morning long. Would we have sat there? Or would we have, what? This reading of the law of Moses, man, this is getting out of hand. I got to get on. I got a camel race I got to get to. I got to take my boat down to the Dead Sea and get some, you know, boating time in. And I've got a fishing appointment with Jacob down on the Jordan River, you know. Come on. Brethren who truly love the Lord will sit there. And I don't believe in overextending your attention span and your gratitude of allowing me to come. I don't believe we need to just simply overtax someone or just delay it and drag it on. But when a man has something to say, let him say it. And let's be mindful of the joy in that. Looking there at Acts chapter 20, you know, the old preacher joke about the long-winded preachers tend to quote Acts chapter 20 there where Paul preached until midnight. So I'm going to preach until midnight like Paul. Well, this gospel preacher got up one time at the beginning of a gospel meeting, and he was long-winded. And he said, well, I'm just like the Apostle Paul, and I'm just going to preach until midnight. And a dear sister came up to him after the Sunday service and said, you don't need to be doing that. First of all, you're not the Apostle Paul. And secondly, he said he was going to depart on the morrow. You're going to be here all week long. So, Keith, we can't use Acts 20 to justify our long-winded sermons. But, regardless of who's here, we should love to be here and enjoy God's Word. Well, we'll close with this point. Our attitude that we have in this life is really what prepares us for worship in the next life. These passages in the book of Revelation tell us that when we get to heaven, what we're going to be doing there, and we'll talk about this more Friday night, Lord willing, is that we're going to be worshiping God around the throne. Now listen, does God want people in heaven worshiping Him who don't want to be here in this life? If we don't want to be worshiping God in this life, then we won't be in heaven worshiping God. If we don't enjoy it now, you don't have to worry about it. You won't be doing it then. It's those who enjoy it and who are faithful and who love God and are worshiping God now that will be around His throne for all eternity. Chapter 7 and verse 15, they are therefore before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne and shall spread His tabernacle over them. And so our attitude and our time spent here is what is preparing us for a life to come. I know all of you want to see me in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. I want us to be there worshiping God. And if we need to make an attitude adjustment and enjoy being here, let's do that. If we really weren't planning on being back tonight, let me encourage you to come on back tonight. You'll enjoy it with the right attitude. And come all week long during the gospel meeting. Invite somebody else. Our attitude toward God and worship now is going to be reflected in the judgment day. He's looking for people to be around his throne day and night. He's looking for those folks who came to all of the services, who came to every time those doors were open. That's the kind of folks he wants worshiping him around that throne. Be that kind of a person.
And so this morning, then, the joy of worship. If you need to begin your service to God this morning by obeying the gospel, come. The water's ready. The garments are ready. You can come and name the name of Christ. Step forward and let your need be made known that you need to wash away your sins in baptism. Those in heaven are those who have been made pure and white in the blood of the Lamb, and that is contacted in baptism. Step forward, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ. Or, as an erring child of God, come back before it's everlasting too late. Maybe a part of our problem as an erring child of God is that we've really slumped into this, I don't enjoy worship anymore. And I need to make that change. If it's something of a public nature where you want to let the elders or others know that you're making that change, come forth. And for those here this morning that love the Lord, they enjoy the Lord, they've already planned to be here at every service this week. You keep that up. You keep being strong. You keep enjoying the service of the Lord. Raise your children to enjoy that. And one day, Revelation 7, we'll be around that throne. Your children will be there too. And they'll enjoy being day and night serving God. If we can encourage you anyway, why won't you come as we stand and sing?